You have to forgive me. I got a little cough drop thing here because I'm dealing with the same thing all the rest of you people are probably dealing with. So pardon me while I take care of that. If I start coughing or something, and you know, I might cough up a lung over here. We'll just kick it to the side and we'll keep on preaching. Okay? So, you know, I love it. Personally, you know, we all have our own little quirks, right? But I love it personally when my house is clean. Yeah. Like clean. It settles my soul. You know, lots of things can be going wrong, but something about stepping into the house when it's clean, yes. Just seems to put me at peace a little bit. But you know, that's true. 100% true, but even though I love a clean house, I have to be honest and tell you that in my home, there's still a few little messes here and there, right? Yeah. You know, I'm gonna be real. I don't make my bed every day. Some of you are like, oh, what? Get over it. I don't make my bed every day. I'm the last one out of bed usually, and I don't make it every day. The truth is, that bed gets made when my wife washes the sheets and does all that. So I don't make it any other time, really. Sometimes when I get up at the end of the night after watching a show with Amy or something, sometimes I don't fold my blanket and put it back in the basket before I go in to get in bed. Some of you wives are like, see? Here's the worst one. I just started doing this one too. Sometimes I leave my dishes in the sink. Don't. Now, listen, you hold on. It's not like I don't go back and clean them. I'm not that guy. I clean them. I just don't do it right afterwards, which is what I'm used to doing. But for some reason, I haven't. But here's the truth. I was sitting here thinking about it, and I was like, why do I do that? And the reality is it's really just this simple. I'm a normal human being living in the real world where real life happens, and there just happens to be some mess involved in it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. The truth is, in all of our lives, not just our houses or in our cars, in your workspace. The reality is, in all of our lives, we got some spots that can be quite messy. Doesn't mean we're not genuine Christ followers. Doesn't mean we haven't been set free already from so much. It doesn't mean that we are in deep trouble. Just means we're still on a journey to be more like Christ. We're not quite there yet. Amen. We've got our issues, don't we? Yeah. Some of us struggle with insecurity. It causes some problems in our lives. It's a little messy. Some of us might have an addiction of some sort, a food addiction, a drug addiction, some other kind of addiction. I don't know what your addiction is. But some of us are struggling with some addiction in our lives, and it can get a little messy. Some of us struggle with some gossip. That makes life messy. Some bitterness. Some of us are still struggling to overcome wounds from childhood. Some of us have been in some hard-fought battles. We're still struggling to overcome. Today's sermon is titled, Messy Church People. We're not bad people. We just still have some issues that we really want Jesus to clean up, but we're not there yet. Right? Here's a fact. All churches are full of messy people. If you think you've been to one that wasn't, it was an illusion. That church was just happened to be very good at looking good. But I promise you, they're keeping the bedroom door closed so you don't see the bed that's unmade. All of the churches you would go to have messy church people in them. Because all of us are a mess at times. As a church, we're embarking on this whole new chapter together. We believe that God has brought us together because he knew that we would be better together. That we would be more impactful for the kingdom. He knew that together we would bring him more glory. He knew that together we would help more people take their next step with Jesus. God knew that. But as we come together and we pursue unity, let's remember that every one of us is dealing with mess. And every one of us is going to be called upon to deal with messy church people. None of us here is perfect. None of us has it all together. We all have broken places that we need the healing hand of Jesus to touch. All of us. But listen to this verse. Proverbs 14:4. This thing and this mint is killing me. But I need it. Never thought I'd pray about a mint, but I'm about to. Proverbs 14:4. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Listen, we believe here that God is going to do great things for his namesake in this church. And that means that he's going to use us as well as whatever new people he brings to accomplish his purposes. But it is naive to believe that none of our messes are going to appear along the way. Yeah. Listen, dear ones, we're going to have to learn to deal well with each other's messy places. You know, as a church body, we're going to have some choices to make. We can choose to ignore the people with glaring problems and whose messes push our buttons. We can choose to ignore those people until they go away or until they learn to do the right thing in church, which is suffer silently. Because that's what we've all been taught. Look, I can agree you're messy. Just be quiet about it. Yeah. I went to that church. That's how I was raised. That's a choice. We could do that. Yeah. We could close the door of our own lives, hide all of our messes, pretend to be that good little church person. And you know what? If we make those two choices, we do those two things, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to look really good around here. It is. Y'all are good-looking people. It's going to look good around here. And it will be impressive. It will. People will come and they will see it and they will go, wow, look at them. They're glorious. We could do that. Maybe a lot of people will come and join. Maybe all the chairs will be full and I'll have to drag in more from the storage buildings out back. Maybe we'll even have to have a second service. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Except for the fact that there will never be a large harvest of restored people experiencing abundant life that Jesus came to give them. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So I would propose to you that instead, as we come together, believing that we truly are better together, that this is God's intended purpose for us, I would say that instead of faking it until we make it, looking good and smiling, all the while struggling, I would suggest instead that we ask God to help us live with a grace-first attitude towards one another.
Amen.
And that we ask God to help us become a people who are comfortable knowing that everyone around us has some messiness in their lives. Asking God to instead make us a people who believe that since He brought us all together, this was a work of His hand. It was not a thing that Tim and I just got together and said, oh, I think we could make that work. It was a God thing. Tim knew last March that this was the direction we should walk in. He told me, I'm normally pretty hard charger on that. I'd have probably just come to you, but the Lord told me, don't tell Tony anything. I'll bring him to you. And in August, God brought me to him.
Wow.
I knew nothing of the plan. I knew nothing about what he was praying for. We believe that God brought us together. And since we believe that this was a work of the Lord, then he must have a perfect plan.
Amen.
For all of us finding freedom in Christ together.
That's right.
Yeah. For all of us displaying hearts to a community of people who may come here, or more likely that you will meet in the marketplace. He must have a perfect plan of your freedom shining forth.
Amen.
We believe that we have a clear mandate from Jesus. This church has a clear mandate. It's very clearly stated. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching them. Teach them how to walk out of bondage. Teach them how to walk in greater intimacy with Jesus. Teach them how to live, even though they're messy, to live with their eyes set upon Jesus.
Yeah.
Teach them how to live with hope.
Yeah, come on.
Teach them how to embrace grace.
Yeah.
Teach them how to walk it out when it's hard. Teach them how to grab a hold of somebody else and say, help. Teach them what it looks like to have a mentor in their life who's not afraid to speak the truth of the gospel over them when they can't speak it over themselves.
Right.
Teach them what it's like to have somebody and be willing to let that person correct you in love so that you might grow better.
Amen.
Teaching them. That's what we're here for. This is our mandate. And Jesus said, behold, I give you this command, and behold, I'm with you. Even to the end of the age, I'm with you. I'll give you the wisdom you need. I'll give you the patience you need. I'll calm your spirit when it's so messy you don't know how to deal with it. I'll help you. I'll give you the grace. I'll show you how to love them. Teach them. And I'll be with you. This isn't just for the pastors, dear ones. All of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. All of us. I don't care how messy your life is. If you have a relationship, a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, then God has put you here, both on this planet and in this church, to help people. To help broken people. That's why you're here. In Revelation 12, Jesus tells the believers that they overcome the enemy. Listen to how he says they did it. They triumphed over him, the work of the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is the way. The people have always been designed to overcome the enemy. By the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and by sharing our testimony with broken people of how he saved us. Not just unto eternity, but how he saved us from insecurity. How he saved us from addiction. How he saved us from feeling sorry for ourselves. How he saved us from being bitter. How he saved us by healing the wounds of childhood. How he saved us. As a church, if we want to stay unified and working to help people take their next step with Jesus, we have got to stop being afraid to be appropriately transparent with others. You see, dear ones, you're here because you have a specific story. Of course, God wants to bless you. Of course he does. Of course he wants to manifest himself in your life. Of course he wants to set you free some more. Of course. Of course. Hear me and hear the heart that it comes from. But it's not all about you. But it is all about him.
Amen.
And it is all about his glory. And the thing that brings him glory is the rescuing of perishing people. People who are dying and going to hell. A very real place where people without Jesus go. But there are Christ followers in your life who, because they don't know how to walk in freedom, they're experiencing hell when they should be experiencing the benefits of the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what's happening. And God, knowing how all of this would play out, put you here in this place with a specific story that would somehow be used by him to set other people free. Don't undervalue what God has given you. Tell the story. Help other people. Now, I have to always pause when I preach about things like this to make sure that you understand what I mean when I say be appropriately transparent. Because some of you want to tell your story in all of its goriness. And that ain't why we're here. And that ain't the purpose of your story. Okay? We don't need to hear all of the gory details. And hear me, because this is really, really important to unity. If you're going to tell a story that you intend to tell for the glory of God's great name, don't you dare be the person who uncovers people so that they might be diminished, so that your story might increase in its value in your mind. We don't uncover people in order to share the glory of God's great name, because Jesus didn't uncover people. He protected people. Oh, yes, he certainly did point out their sin. But you are not him, and you don't get to do that. He will take care of their sin. He will point it out. And if he needs you, he'll let you know. Don't uncover people. All right? Don't do that. So be appropriate. But hear me, dear ones. You haven't overcome. I want you to stop for just a second. And I want you to think of that thing. You know what I'm talking about. That thing. That thing in you where you go, oh, but for Jesus. Oh, I was a mess. I was so jacked up in my life. If he hadn't rescued me right there, I don't know where I'd be. I want you to stop. Now you get that picture in your mind. And I'm sure for all of you right now, just like me, you're like, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Hey, that can take your breath away when you think about all that you've been rescued from. You didn't endure all of the purifying, sanding. You didn't endure the struggle to die to self and allow Jesus to come in and give you a new way to think. You didn't endure the people who didn't understand why you no longer could do the things that you used to do or say, but instead you've just had to be totally in with Jesus and they don't understand, so they rejected you. You didn't endure all of this for your own benefit. You benefited to the glory of God, but this is not the end purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He did do that. In your struggle, in the release of the mess, in the dying to self, I know he comforted you. Because that's who he is. It's the definition. He is the source of all comfort. Any comfort you received is from his hand. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. Amen. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. See the decision right there? Yeah. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We've made a choice to help you. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives. Amen. It's not all about you, but your story can bring comfort. Your story can remind people that they can overcome. Your story can bring great hope.
Amen.
This is why we're here. To rescue perishing people, whether they be lost and not know how to find Jesus, or whether they found Jesus but don't know how to get out of the mess they're drowning in. We're here to help. But let's make sure, again, I have to say it. Let's make sure when we tell our stories, let's not spend all of our time on the sin that we committed that broke us in the first place. It's not the point. It's not the point. Let's get to the beautiful part. The part of the story where Jesus rescued us. Can I give you a piece of advice on helping people? Make it so easy where you don't have to worry about, is this a God moment? What am I? Don't know what to say. I'm so nervous. Let me clear up all that for you. I can make your life so much better, so much easier when it comes to giving out that which you have been given. Make every story you ever tell that ever comes out of your mouth about Jesus. Make everything that comes out of your mouth about Jesus. Give him glory in all things. Have you struggled, dear one? Then give him glory for it. Did you go to the grocery store and find the perfect parking spot? Then give him glory for it. I don't care. You're like, that's just silly, Pastor. The parking spot. Look, if it's on your, if it's going to come out of your mouth, you might as well give him glory. Right? If you want to see the beauty of your, if you want to watch your heart just expand for the kingdom, let every story that comes out of your mouth have Jesus in it. Even if you don't know the outcome yet. What if you're in the middle of the mess and someone comes to you and says, are you okay? And the honest thing in your head right now is you're like, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. This is bigger than me. Then say it. But add this. But I believe that regardless of how I feel,
there it is.
Come on. Yeah.
That the God who loves me, who sacrificed himself for me, has a perfect plan. And he's going to turn it for good.
Yes.
And I don't always feel it. But because his word said it, I know it's true. See, you can put Jesus in any story, even the ones where you're panicking, even the ones where you're crying still. You can put Jesus in every story. If you want to watch your heart expand, if you want to find yourself more joyful, put Jesus in every story. Your Freedom Life Fellowship is going to accomplish its kingdom purpose. We have to stop allowing ourselves to be offended by other people's messy lives. See, there comes a point of maturity in Jesus where you realize that you've been designed by God to bring light to the dark, the dingy, and oftentimes the disgusting places of other people's lives. We walk in a battlefield, people.
Yep. Yeah.
This ain't a Stepford community. It's not supposed to look perfect. You're supposed to have some experience in battle. You might be tempted to think that because someone comes to church and because they have a relationship with Jesus, that they should get their act together a little bit faster. I mean, look at them. They've been with Jesus for 50 years. You'd think that they wouldn't be messy. And you see the verbiage and how it creates negativity and how that leads to bitterness. But we do that. Oh, you may have different language in your mouth, but we do that. Somebody splashes their mess on us in church, and we go, I think they'd know better. I thought they loved Jesus. I was talking about Jesus. They splashed some on me. I didn't appreciate it. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 24, verse 11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death.
Amen.
Hold back those who are stumbling unto slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Instead of taking up an offense to someone's messiness, our job, as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, is to engage in the moment, to get in there. You say to yourself, hold on, I need to put my Tyvek suit on first so that I don't get any on me. Look, don't stumble into sin because of somebody else's sin, but you're stronger than that. I know for a fact what you've been taught. I know what you've been receiving from the Lord. You're mature enough to get in the battle. You're mature enough to take the living word of God, alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and you can stick that sword right in the middle of somebody else's mess so that you can set somebody free.
Amen.
We have got to be, if this church is going to matter in the kingdom, I don't care how many butts sit in these seats. That's not the mark of whether we mattered in the kingdom. If we are going to matter, we must let go of offense. We must look at the deeper issues that people are struggling with. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why is it splashing on you? You're so mad that it splashed on you.
Yeah.
That you missed the perishing person who did it.
Yeah.
This means we have to be a people who are seeking personally to be free, no matter the cost. And we have to be a people who are choosing to take freedom into the lives of the messy. Remember, every situation of your life, everyone, God is always orchestrating situations so that we will have an opportunity to remind people of his love. He is always orchestrating situations to help people see their real problem so that they can, by grace, find freedom and wholeness in Christ. It's you and I, with our testimonies, that are the very things, tools in God's hand that he wants to use to help other people start living life to the fullest, to be free. I've had the privilege in my life to preach to many different groups of people in many different kinds of churches. It never fails. I go into churches and I preach the gospel, and it never fails, somewhere in the room, there's a person who I can look at and tell they've been angry for a long time. Never fails. You know how I can see it? Because their face is so pinched up, it looks like they need more fiber or something. I mean, it's just like, they're so angry. Why are so many church people miserable in their pews? How do you get bitter in church? How is the word of life spoken and yet people are mad at God? How is it that we preach this gospel of grace and yet people are angry at fellow church members? Now, there could be any number of reasons why people in church are angry. I get it. But I think one of the things is, one, they don't have any grace because they ain't never been saved. That's possible. Billy Graham said that probably closer to 80% of the people sitting in churches weren't saved. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying that's what he said. Because in a lot of places, it's become about the country club mentality. I'm just here because I like socializing with you people and you're not nasty. That's why sometimes people do that. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying. I think there's another reason that might play a part. I think some people in church who are angry, they're angry because they're so offended by the messiness of other people's lives that the end of Proverbs 24 that I just read to you is playing out. Their willful choice to live in their sin, failing to forgive, failing to meet people where they are, failing to help people take their next step with Jesus, is keeping them from participating in the good works which God prepared for them to do in advance. Yes. And they're miserable because it's those very good works that God uses to add into our lives the joy of this whole earthly experience. And there's no way to find satisfaction for your soul if you don't have joy. That's why I think churches are dying everywhere.
Yes, sir.
People are faking being okay, and they're only accepting of the ones who pretend to be okay like they are. They've refused to accept the messiness of other people's lives. And the reality is, God will not bless that church because it no longer represents the heart of his people. So, I believe that God wants us to be a people who stop being offended by the messiness. And let church be what it was always supposed to be.
Amen.
A place of restoration.
Yes.
We, Pastor Tim and I, the elders of this church, we believe that we should love people and lead them out of life's messes and into fullness of life. That we will meet people where they are and we will teach them. We will not just bark a bunch of rules at them so that they will look better quicker so that we don't have to deal with their stuff. But we will truly teach them without condemnation how to walk in freedom with Christ. That's what we believe. That's what we will do. Listen, dear ones, have you been set free? If you have, then the intended heart of God for you. If you are free, free people, free people. Free people, free people. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine. Let it shine. This is who we will be. So help me God, this is who we will be. We refuse to be called Freedom Life Fellowship and not actually try to lead the broken people who come here into actual freedom in Christ. It cannot just be a name. We're going to give, over time, we're going to develop a t-shirt for you. It says Freedom Life Fellowship. It's going to have a cool logo on it. We're going to have the little car sticker, right, that you can put on the back window. It says Freedom Life Fellowship, have the cool little logo. We're going to do all that stuff. Because we want to make it where somebody asks you, tell me about this Freedom Life Fellowship thing. What's that all about? We'll open the door for you. Wear the shirt. I promise you. Somebody's going to ask. And you get to tell the story. We're going to do that for you. But so help me God, it'll be true. When you talk about it, it's going to be true. And I'll tell you, I love you with my whole heart. I will do anything to see you take another step with Jesus. I will give up my whole life to watch that happen in you, because that's what God has put on my heart. But hear me, and hear it from the heart it comes from. Don't stand in my way. We will free people here. We will. If you can't do that, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not afraid of your mess. But if you have any other agenda here, other than that, if you're not loving God and loving other people, meaning you're doing all these things, and you have some other agenda that this would become about you, or that this pulpit would be yours one day, or whatever your agenda is, you and I are going to have a serious, real conversation. Because this is what He has put on our hearts, and we will not move. We will not change. We are walking in that direction. And if you want to walk with us, walk with us. But if you get in the way, I'm going to love you. I'm going to try to help you. But if you refuse and if you be stubborn in it, then I'm going to push you to the side. And we as a church are going to continue in that direction. Why do I tell you that? Because I've experienced it. I've seen it happen. I'm no spring chicken in this thing. Don't let the white shoes and jeans fool you. I've been doing this for a long time. And I've seen people get in the way of what God wanted to do. And I've watched time after time churches cower and go, well, they're all upset. Not here. Not here. We're moving in that direction. So help us, God. That's what we're doing.
Thank you.
All of us have had a lifetime of messy struggles that have trained us to know the heart of God better. It has set us free. We've tasted restoration. We know that it's good. Let's start asking God to let us use those experiences the way the Bible says that we should. Let's not be afraid of the messy people. I've told you before, I'll say it again. I have asked the Lord repeatedly for my whole ministry life to give me the unlovelies. Give me the ones that nobody else wants. I'll take them. It scares me to death, if you want to know the honest truth. I have no earthly idea how to do all that. But you know what? I want to do the kind of ministry that if Jesus Himself doesn't show up, it's all going to fail.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
If I can accomplish it, if we can accomplish it, it ain't big enough.
Yeah.
The goal is wrong.
Yeah.
I want the messiest of messy. Bring them here. I'm scared of that. But I believe that the stories in this room are enough that can point even the messiest person to Jesus and set them free.
Amen.
I've tasted and seen what it's like to walk out of the mess.
Amen.
And that's why I have to do it this way, right?
Yeah.
If you have tasted and seen,
yeah,
Can't you feel it? Can't you feel the Spirit of God rise up inside of you and say yes? Now listen, if that's not you, it's okay. You're not in the wrong place. You just need some help. Some of you might need to be reminded of how glorious it has been to be set free. And then you need to be let loose on the world around you with the fresh remembrance of what God has done. Colossians 3, verse number 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, yes, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Amen. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, yes, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Amen. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That's how you jump in to the middle of somebody's mess.
Yes.
You just choose to do this before you ever jump in. Regardless of what splashes on me, regardless of the smell, regardless of how it makes me look,
yes,
we jump in, clothed in love, and we get busy trying to help other people get free. The most satisfied Christ followers you've ever met, the ones that you quietly look at and go, what is it about that person? How is it that they are so satisfied in Jesus? Those are the ones who have stopped being offended. They're unoffendable. They're the ones who will not keep the story of Jesus out of their mouth. They just got to keep pumping it out there. They've stopped worrying about being offended. They've stopped worrying about how they sound. And instead, they've decided that they want to be used by God to display his love and grace to people stuck in the messes of life. So my question is, will you join us in that? Will you today, as we enter into a time of communion where we remember the things that God has done, where we remember what we were saved from, remembering sozo, we weren't just saved unto eternity, we've been saved repeatedly. All the time we are being saved.
Amen.
All of the time.
Amen.
As we go into this time of communion, and you begin to remember, I'm asking you to join us in the call to walk forward with us into the messiness of other people's lives. That as you remember what God has done in you, that even though you might be afraid, even though you might wonder, right now you're like, God, I don't know what I would say. I wonder if now, fresh and new, in this time of communion, if you'll commit yourself again to the purpose of God to rescue perishing people no matter their mess. The good news is, if you'll make the choice, he'll begin to empower you to do the rest. It is his Holy Spirit alive and active inside of you that does the work. All you have to do is make the choice. And if you will make the choice, I promise you, little by little, piece by piece, step by step, the Holy Spirit will lead you into the messes of other people's lives, and your story will help them on their journey. And you'll find satisfaction in this Christian life like you never thought possible.